Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
I always try to find relevant messages that I feel people need, and so I talk about sleep tonight. Four truths about sleep. Do you realize what an unusual thing sleep is? Sleep is a naturally reoccurring state of mind and body characterized by altered consciousness, relatively inhibited sensory activity, inhibition of nearly all voluntary muscles, and reduced interactions with surroundings. During sleep, most of the body's systems are in an anabolic state, helping to restore the immune, nervous, skeletal, and muscular systems. These are vital processes that maintain mood, memory, and cognitive performance and plays a large role in the function of the endocrine and immune systems. The internal circadian clock promotes sleep daily at night. The diverse purposes and mechanisms of sleep are the subject of substantial ongoing research. The advent of artificial light has substantially altered sleep timing in industrialized country. Sleep is an unusual thing. We lay down and we go into this state of semi-consciousness and get up and feel better. Maybe it's me, but it seems that sleep apnea is becoming more prevalent. Maybe we just didn't know how to diagnose it in the past. Or maybe we're just more aware of it. I don't know, but I know that many people struggle with sleep. Theoretically, we sleep 8 hours a night. The amount of sleep that's needed varies from person to person and changes with aging, health, and life circumstances. But when you think about it, basically we sleep for 1/3 of our life. That's a lot of time. We need sleep. God designed us to sleep. During sleep, the body restores itself, and therefore the lack of sleep is not good. Many years ago, I read a book. I couldn't tell you the name of it. I couldn't tell you the author, but I do remember the interesting conclusion. He was a man, basically told his story, "I can't sleep." And he went through the book describing all of the things that he tried to sleep. And the conclusion of his article was, he went the other way. Instead of trying to get a good night's sleep, he stayed up. And he would go to bed at like midnight and get up at 3. And he would do that for several days. And then he would go to bed at 11:30 and get up at 3. And then he would go to 11:30 and get up at 4. And he slowly added more sleep time until he figured out what his body wanted. I'm not here to endorse that method. I'm just making the point that people have trouble sleeping. And there are incredible studies going on about sleep. I see some of you are asleep already. Consider this for a good night's sleep. Ready? Ah, what comfort. Why is it that I toss and fret upon the softest bed? Though I count sheep, I still can't sleep until I'm almost dead. But when it's Sunday morning and I'm sitting in the church, immediately I start to nod and almost lose my perch. If I were a mattress salesman, sir, you know what I would do? I'd advertise my mattresses as comfy as a pew. Well, God made us to sleep. The Bible talks about sleep. We all need sleep. So let's consider a few truths from the Bible about sleep. The first point I want to make, wisdom makes a great pillow. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. The context of that verse is the father is speaking to his son, giving him wisdom and telling him the greatest thing the son can do is seek wisdom, which of course is godliness. When you think about the Proverbs, this son is not a 3 and 4 year old boy, the subject matter is incredibly mature. The father is telling his son, who I perceive is ready to go out into society and start making his own decisions, and he's telling him, son, seek wisdom, because when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. You want a path to good sleep? Seek God. The son here is admonished to diligently seek wisdom, and the blessings that come with wisdom, one of them is sleep. I remember my kids, long ago, of course, they had these kids, in those days, cassettes. And I remember one of the storylines was a story of a king. And the king was singing a silly song, I would give my kingdom for a good night's sleep. Seek wisdom is one of the ways. Did you know that a truly wise and thankful person appreciates the simplicity of a good night's sleep? Just want to go to sleep. When you count the blessings, when you think of wisdom and godliness, you will have peace and you'll sleep. Did you ever think, as is the context of this, you lay down, you're not going to be afraid in this vulnerable position. You're stretched out, your senses are dulled, you're in this state of unconsciousness, if you will, and you're not going to be afraid. You don't have to worry about something to get you. Thou shalt lie down, thy sleep shall be sweet, because God watches over his children when they sleep. Thy sleep shall be sweet. Quote, someone has said, it is not enough that one hold the truth, if the truth hold not him. We must take hold of what God has revealed so that it controls the heart and life. Thus, to keep sound wisdom and discretion helps one lay hold on what is really life. Wisdom and discretion ornament the neck with grace and guide the disciple in the way of truth so his foot will not stumble. Rest and refreshment also become the portion of all who esteem the word of God above all thoughts of men. Rest, sleep, comes from godliness. Hence, our first point, wisdom makes a great pillow. Second, no rest for the wicked unless they do harm. Consider Proverbs 4:16. For they sleep not, the wicked here in this case. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. There are just some people in this world that are determined to do evil. And they're not able to sleep till they do something evil. It's a mindset. And it's in stark contrast to the man we just looked at before, who seeks wisdom and he has sweet sleep. This evil person has no sleep till he does evil. His mind thinks on evil. What a sad thing that the mind would apply itself to nothing but ill intent. But there are people like this. The wise man lays down and thinks on the things of God. The evil man thinks of doing evil and he can't sleep until he does some. Quote, oftentimes they cannot sleep on their beds for devising mischief. Their thoughts are so intensely set on contriving wicked schemes, and when they have done so, they cannot sleep until they have executed them. They are continually restless and uneasy day and night, like the troubled sea constantly casting up mire and dirt. Who can keep such company as these? Another quote. These are mischievous men. They not only care not what hurt they do to those that stand in their way, but it is their business to do mischief and their delight purely for mischief's sake. They are continually designing and endeavoring to cause some to fall, to ruin them body and soul. Wickedness and malice are in their nature, and violence is in all their actions. They are spiteful in the highest degree. Mischief is rest and sleep to them. What a world we live in. That people would be so determined to ill intent. Third point. Do not sleep such that you miss opportunities. We must find the balance between God-ordained sleep that is sweet and excessive. Herein lies wisdom when we can discern these things. Control our sleeping. Proverbs 6:4. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Pretty strong admonition, don't do this. Well, obviously we've got to take it in context. If you pull that out of context, hey, listen, guys, we're not supposed to sleep. Well, read it in its context. Some people sleep a lot more than they ought. Maybe they don't discipline themselves and they're staying out too late. Control your sleeping, control your life so that you can control your sleeping. Maybe you're going to have to adjust your schedule so you can get a better night's sleep. You see, what happens is you can sleep and miss opportunities. An opportunity missed is oftentimes missed forever. Thus, a disciplined, godly person will discipline himself so that he does not oversleep and miss the opportunities that God brings his way. Everybody knows who Rip Van Winkle is, right? Or at least you've heard the name. Rip Van Winkle is one of the immortal characters created by the great early American writer Washington Irving. Rip was a Dutch-American who wandered into the Catskill Mountains, met up with a group of dwarfs playing nine pins, and fell asleep. He didn't wake up for 20 years, and when he did, he found that his old hometown had become a whole new world. His wife was dead. His daughter was married, and the people who used to have a picture of King George now had one of a man named George Washington. Things were never the same for poor old Rip Van Winkle. Today we use the term Rip Van Winkle for someone who, at least figuratively, sleeps through remarkable changes in the world around him. And many times that includes opportunities that are missed. Rip slept. The world changed and he missed many things. Let's consider further sleep and self-discipline. Proverbs 10:5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. The harvest does not wait. They planted at the right time, apparently, because the harvest will come. They've disciplined to do that on the front end of the farming cycle. They plant, they did whatever was necessary during the growing season, and the time of harvest comes. What do you mean you're not ready? You're asleep? Why do you think we did all this work and then miss it? But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. The harvest comes, ready or not. There's only one small window of opportunity to gather the fruit thereof. We live in a society where we don't have to worry about a harvest. We take for granted a land of plenty when you go to the grocery store and those shelves are stocked. Maybe someday you need to travel and go see poverty. Real poverty. We have had recently some visitors come over from Europe, and they shared with me they can't believe all the food on our grocery stores. Europe is not what I consider backwards. And they marvel at what we have in the grocery store. We need to truly go back and imagine what it must be like. If your garden doesn't produce, you aren't eating. You're going to get up and seek some food and make sure that you tend to that harvest. The harvest must be taken when it's time. No matter what the weather is, the harvest must be gathered. If you had other plans, too bad. It's harvest time. And if you don't feel well, get up anyway. Many times we've got to push ourselves. Wake up. How about Proverbs 6:9? How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Here we have got the condition of a lazy man so pathetic that people marvel. How long? People take notice to this guy. When are you going to arise? Get up. See, right now we're talking about ungodly sleep and undisciplined lives. Sleep is supposed to be sweet. We must control ourselves so that it is sweet, not excessive, and opportunities are missed. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? Well, here's a man who earned a very dubious honor in life. I don't know that I would want this honor. In September 2005, New York resident Suresh Joachim broke the Guinness World Record for the longest time spent watching television. His constant staring at the television lasted 69 hours and 48 minutes, passing the previous record by 50 hours and 7 minutes. The Guinness rules for the couch potato record for continuous television watching include a 5-minute break every hour and a 15-minute break every 8 hours. The viewer must otherwise be constantly looking at the screen. Sitting on a brown leather couch, he watched nothing but ABC shows. The record-breaking effort was made in the lobby of WABC-TV in New York City as part of a Guinness World Record Breaker Week for the station syndicated Live with Regis and Kelly. "I'm going to be a little tired of watching TV after this," Joachim said. "The Lord never meant us to be couch potatoes, and we should never be a burden to others. Get up. Get up. Laziness is destructive. Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Isn't that amazing? If you're slothful, you'll sleep deeply. And yet there are people that are very dedicated to their work and they don't sleep. Sleep's a funny thing. Slothfulness, so if you want a good night's sleep, be slothful. No, that's not what it's saying. Slothful casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. You see, while you're asleep, you're not doing your work. You're not tending to the harvest, and it's going to lead to hunger. No matter how much this person sleeps, he's still tired. And it's resulting in loss. He has no food, leading to poverty. Proverbs 20:13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Get up. Open thine eyes. Thou shalt be satisfied with bread. But how many sleep through the harvest? Important things wait while he sleeps. Hence, his priorities are in desperate need of correction. The results of laziness are devastating, and they come to poverty. Quote, the warnings against slothfulness and self-indulgence are abundant. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. The active and diligent are rewarded for their toil. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Such are the stirring words addressed by the Holy Ghost to sleeping Christians in a world where all should be aroused to the value of time so rapidly passing away. Ephesians 5:15, see then, walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Folks, we've got kingdom work to do. Let us not waste our time in sleep. When you sleep, let it have its perfect work. And get up when you've had enough. K. Consider David, who fell into grievous sin by taking his ease. 2 Samuel 11:2, it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off his bed. He should have been heading to bed, not getting out of bed at that hour. And therein, he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And the rest of the story is Bathsheba and Uriah, and the terrible sins therein. Slothfulness, laziness, excessive sleep. The sloth. Sloths move only when necessary, and even then very slowly, because they have only about a quarter as much muscle tissue as other animals of similar weight. They usually move at an average speed of 10 feet per minute, but they can move at a marginally higher speed of 15 feet if they're in immediate danger from a predator. Doesn't sound real helpful, does it? Slothfulness. There was a sloth walking down an alley in New York when he was mugged by a gang of snails. The police detective came to investigate and asked the sloth if he could explain what happened. The sloth looked at the detective with a confused look and said, "I don't know, it happened so fast." Slothfulness. And our fourth point, a good night's sleep is from the Lord. May we learn the incredible blessing it is to have a good night's sleep. Let me quote from the CDC. More than a third of American adults are not getting enough sleep on a regular basis, according to a new study in the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. This is the first study to document estimates of self-reported healthy sleep duration, 7 or more hours per day, for all 50 states and the District of Columbia. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine and the Sleep Research Society recommend that adults aged 18 to 60 sleep at least 7 hours each night to promote healthy, optimal health and well-being. Sleeping less than 7 hours per day is associated with an increased risk of developing chronic conditions such as obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, and frequent mental distress. Quote, "As a nation, we are not getting enough sleep," said Dr. James Giles, director of CDC's Division of Population Health. "Lifestyle changes, such as going to bed at the same time each night, rising at the same time each morning, and turning off or removing televisions, computers, mobile devices from the bedroom, can help get the healthy sleep they need." Even the Center of Disease Control is having to advise us on getting a good night's sleep. I want us to consider the God-given sleep that we read about in Psalms chapter 3. We have here in the context, David's son, Absalom, has led a rebellion against him. King David has to flee from Jerusalem for his very life. And this psalm is written at that time. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah." Meaning, pause, think about it. Verse 3. "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah." Here it is. "I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me." I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken out the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. I want us to think, there's many truths we could glean from that passage. I want us to focus on the situation. David is fleeing for his very life. And he laid me down and slept and awaked, for the Lord sustained him. This takes us really back to the first point that we consider. Wisdom makes a great pillow. Or shall I say spirituality makes a great pillow. Quote, let the wicked idolaters brag that they will prevail against you and overcome you, and that God hath given you over and will no more be your God. Let them put their trust in Absalom with his large golden locks, and in the wisdom of Ahithophel, the wise counselor. Yet say you with David, thou, O Lord, art a shield and the defender of mine head. Persuade yourselves with David that the Lord is your defender, who has compassed you round about and is, as it were, a shield that doth cover you on every side. It is he only that may and will compass you about with glory and honor. It is he that will thrust down those proud hypocrites from their seat and exalt the lowly and meek. It is he which will smite your enemies on the cheekbone and burst all their teeth in sunder. He will hang up Absalom by his long hairs, and Ahithophel through desperation shall hang himself. The bands shall be broken and you delivered, for this belongeth unto the Lord, to save his from their enemies and to bless his people, that they may safely proceed in their pilgrimage to heaven without fear. And that includes a good night's sleep. It is God that sustains us. It is God that knows all of our trials and tribulations, our heartaches and despair. And we cry unto him. I have to tell you a story, my wife and I. Several blocks from our house, we go often because there is this eagle nest. And for the last several years, we have gone and you watch the mom and dad, and you can tell when the babies are born. And they're bringing in, occasionally we see them bringing a fish into the nest. And all the little mouths stick up and you watch mom ripping off pieces of the fish and giving it to them. But now the babies are grown, probably about 7 months in, and they're already the physical size of the parent. But they still have maturing to do. The babies are all black. Mom and dad have a white head. I can't tell which is mom and dad, but I know there's two, so one's mom and one's dad. Several days ago, we went over to watch, and we've noticed over the last 3 weeks or so, osprey comes around. And those poor babies go crazy. And mom and dad just sit still, because they know they can take out that osprey in a second. And they don't panic at all. The babies are going crazy. And eventually, the osprey flies away. We went the other night, and there were two babies in the tree, and no mom and no dad. And here comes the osprey. And he is swooping around that tree, and those babies went nuts. I am not about to try to imitate the sound of a screeching baby eagle. I will not do it justice. But trust me, it's loud and it's furious. And it was like the cavalry. Over this tree, this line of trees, comes this large swooping eagle. Mom or dad, I don't know. But they came to the rescue. Those babies did not cry for 6 seconds, and mom was over that tree line and made a beeline for that osprey. I don't think the osprey saw it, because mom went low, or dad, forgive me for not knowing that, but, and came up. Literally, I watched an eagle fly upside down and take those talons and lunge for the underbelly of that osprey, which just barely got out of the way and took off. But the point that I want to make here is those babies cried, and mom heard and came now. And that's how it is with God, from our lips to his ears. And he's even faster than that mom eagle was getting to those babies. And she made no hesitation going for the underbelly of that osprey. You will not molest my babies. And God looks at us and he hears our cry. You're not going to mess with my kids. And sometimes we don't think God is near. He is so near, he hears our voice. And he knows. And one of those things he includes is when we're in the midst of our enemies, he will give us a good night's sleep. The aftermath of that story is, of course, the babies stayed sitting right there in that tree. Mom perched and just didn't make a sound. She was at total peace, and those babies were still little nervous wrecks. But they were safe. And as they grow up, they're going to realize an osprey is no match for them. Maybe we need sometimes in our growing, the devil is no match when we yield ourselves to our Heavenly Father. He hears our cry. Lay down and get a good night's sleep. Because God is on the throne and it's from our lips to his ears. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. The title of the psalm tells us when David had his sweet night's rest, not when he lay on his bed of down in the stately palace at Jerusalem, but when he fled for his life from his son Absalom and possibly was forced to lie in the open field under the canopy of heaven. Truly, it must be a soft pillow indeed that could make him forget his danger. Who then had such disloyal army at his back hunting of him? Yea, so transcendent is the influence of this peace that it can make the creature lie down as cheerfully to sleep in the grave as on the softest bed. Trust in the Lord, he will give you a good night's sleep. So it is we have considered four simple truths. Wisdom makes a great pillow. There's no rest for the wicked unless they do some harm. Do not sleep such that you miss opportunities, and a good night's sleep is from the Lord. Sleep is necessary. Control it, enjoy it, and get up and tend to your priorities and responsibilities. I do want to note, as a footnote to this message, I understand that some people have health conditions or other circumstances that alter their sleep. And so be it. Seek God in those situations. But the bottom line is, we need sleep. Take your cares to the Lord. Trust Him and watch Him bless.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.